Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank the organizers for inviting me to this nice workshop and giving me this opportunity. And this talk is based on the work with Sang-woo Kim and Jun Nishimura. And so here we study cosmology by using a matrix model, which can be viewed as a counterpart in superstring theory of lattice QCD in QCD. So here are some fundamental questions concerning our universe. First one is why is it 3+1 dimensional? Why is it expanding? More specifically, how did the inflation occur? And why is the presence cosmological constants so small? And well, you can ask, how did it begin? How is the cosmic singularity avoided? So, hope you should agree superstring theory should be able to answer these questions. In fact, a lot of insight into the questions have been obtained by string cosmology. These are examples. There is an old work by Brandenburger Bacher who addressed the problem why we live in 3+1 dimensions. And there are a lot of works on realizing Zita Bakula in string theory and embedding inflation into the string theory and other many works. And all these works are based on perturbation theory with d-brains, which is a non-perturbative object in string theory. And here we'd like to tell you two issues in string cosmology. So one is that there are numerous vacua that are theoretically allowed. Moreover, even higher or lower dimensional universes are included in these allowed vacua. So one has to pick up particular vacua from these allowed vacua. So usually one uses the statistical method or appeal to the anthropic principle. And the second one is the cosmic or initial singularity. As you know, the cosmological solution to the Einstein equation have the singularity at the beginning of the universe. So, and actually, in general, it is difficult to, that perturbation theory cannot, it is difficult for perturbation theory to resolve the cosmic singularity. And because non-perturbative effects are important at the beginning of the universe. Okay. On the other hand, there is still a possibility that one can actually determine the true vacuum uniquely and resolve the cosmic singularity if one uses a non-perturbative formulation that incorporates full non-perturbative effects, which should be analog of lattice QCD or QCD. So indeed, several matrix models have been proposed for such a formulation. Type 2D matrix model, matrix theory, and matrix string theory. The first one is obtained by dimensionally reducing n-dimensional UN superimage theory to zero dimension. The second one to one dimension, and third one to two dimensions. So here we try to answer the questions concerning our universe I mentioned. by using this type 2B matrix model. So you will see that the Lorentzian, considering Lorentzian version, is the key to our project. So before going into the details, let me tell you our main results. So first of all, we find that the Lorentzian type 2B matrix model is well defined non-perturbatively, although it looks ill-defined at first sight. And we find that there is no free parameter in the theory except for one scale parameter, which is expected for non-perturbative string theory. And also we find that to study real-time quantum dynamics in our model is rather easy compared to the case of the field theory. Actually, this fact is associated with the fact that time does not exist a priori in this model, but it's generated dynamically. So the most important thing we find is that SO9 symmetry of space is broken spontaneously to SO3 at some point in time, and the size of three dimensions starts to increase with time. This strongly suggests the birth of our universe. Thus, namely, expanding 3+1 dimensional universe appears naturally in our model. So, also we find no cosmic singularity in our model. And this is a figure, this is the most important figure we will show you later. The meaning of this figure, I'll explain in detail in the meaning of this figure, but there are 3 points here and there are 6 points here. This indicates SSB of SO9 to SO3. Okay. And before ending the introduction, I'd like to comment on some earlier attempts of using a matrix model in cosmology. Actually, these people study the classical solutions of matrix theory, and they found some interesting expanding solutions. And these people discussed the resolution of cosmic singularity based on holography in matrix theory or matrix string theory. And these people studied cosmology using emergent gravity from non-commutative geometry in type 2B matrix model. Their study is also classical. And on the other hand, our analysis through Monte Carlo simulation is fully quantum mechanical. Okay. So this is the plan of the present talk. In section 2, I'm going to review type 2B matrix model. And I'll explain why we consider the Lorentzian version of the model. And in section 3, I'm going to define the path integral of the Lorentzian model. We have to regularize the Lorentzian model by introducing some cutoffs. And in section 4, I'm going to show you the results of our Monte Carlo simulation. And section 5 is summary and discussion. So let me review the type 2B matrix model. The action of the type 2B matrix model is here. As I said, it is obtained by dimensionally reducing n-dimensional UN superimage to zero dimension. So there is no space-time derivatives. As a result, the action is homogeneous in A mu and psi. And A mu and psi are n by n Hermitian matrices having no space-time dependence. And A mu is also 10-dimensional Lorentz vector. Mu takes 0 to 9 here. And psi is 10-dimensional Majorana-Weyl spinor. These are just matrices. And we take the Lagrangian limit. So the model has the following features. First of all, space-time does not exist a priori, but it's generated dynamically. In particular, time is also generated dynamically in this model.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
So this thing is exactly gauge invariant.
Gauge invariant, yes.
Before deduction, it is not.
Why?
Because it's anomalous. It's 10 dimensional. It's an anomaly.
Anomaly, okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you. We start with zero dimensional model. So we forget about 10 dimensional model. There is no anomaly in zero dimensional model.
But then it's not. So this has nothing to do or little to do with 10 dimensional.
No. You mean the Lagrangian induction?
Like asking whether this model really represents the dimension
of UN. No.
I think it just means a classical dimensional reduction. I don't think there's any
This is just
the, yeah.
So there's no statement made about.
Yeah.
Of
course. We don't think this model is connected to 10-dimensional Young mirrors. We don't think.
There's no space-time
here. Actually, space-time is...
But currency, the either obey, you can make currency, they either have the relation or you don't. If you take, I don't know, how many do you take? 5 currents or whatever you need, a pentagon. It's either gauge invariant or not. It's gauge invariant in this case, you don't need 4 dimensions. In order to get 4 dimensions, the logic is that this wants to be, would be 10 dimensional plus 1 dimensional, but then at the end of the day, it turns out dynamically to select not to be. But when it is 9 plus 1 dimensional, I saw this thing. At the level of the
Lagrangian, space-time is dynamically generated. So 9 plus 1 dimension is not generated in this one. So you don't have to worry about 10 dimensional.
It's just a collection of matrices.
So the model has a manifest SO9 comma 1 symmetry and manifest 10 dimensional n equal 2 supersymmetry. So, I'm going to tell you some evidences that this model serves as a non-perturbative formulation of supersymmetry theory. the first of all, this model can be viewed as a matrix regularization with shift type action, shift type wall shift action for type 2B superstring. This is a shift type action, and the curly bracket stands for Poisson bracket, and we replace this is a target space embedding, and we replace the fields on the world sheet with a matrix like this, and we replace the Poisson bracket with the commutator of the matrices, and we replace the integral over world sheet with a trace over matrix. Then this model, this action reduces to active matrix model action. And
completely trivial question. Okay. The first term, you have these two free indices, x mu and x mu.
Square of Nambu Goto. So, okay, so what is important in this model is we can consider the block diagonal configuration in matrix. So, by this configuration, we can realize many body strings in this model. In that sense, the matrix model can be viewed as a second quantized string set. Okay, so as I said, the model has a 10-dimensional n equal 2 supersymmetry. The algebra is given here. So this is a n by n unit matrix. So we can see from this relation that A mu can be viewed as the eigenvalues of A mu can be viewed as coordinates. And this symmetry suggests the model, strongly suggests that model includes gravity. And actually, we can calculate the interaction between D planes and reproduce interaction between D planes in type 2D superstring correctly. And we can consider the duplication of this model. We identify the Wilson loop with some string field in the momentum representation, and the replication we found that replication provides a light constraint theory for type 2B superstring.
You've been working in Lorentzian.
In this stage, yeah.
How did you? So far, you've been doing Euclidean.
We don't specialize because this is a perturbation, part of the calculation. So we can do in both theories.
Okay.
Yeah.
You go back.
Yes. Okay.
You do the contractions here.
Yes.
You use the Lorentzian metric.
Lorentzian metric. Yeah. Here. Yeah. Okay.
To go back to the original.
Original action. Yeah. This is the Lorentzian, but later we refine the Euclidean model from this. Lorentzian model, but these calculations. This is a Homer correspondence. So, and this calculation is valid for Lorentzian case. Also Euclidean case.
By the big
brains,
you just mean
eigenvalues
of some subset of
them, of AMU? Yeah, this is actually this, for instance, D1 brains realized by the conjugation A naught equal P, A1 equal Q. So,
that's something that commutes. Is that A
naught
plus P, A1
plus P? Actually, okay. So, D1 brains, static D1 brains represented by, okay, X naught is sigma 0, and X1 is sigma 1. So we
is that Pauli?
No, sigma, dual sheet coordinate.
Oh, these are just into sigma.
Yeah, okay. Okay. And, okay, so in this way, we can see that the model is connected to the type 2B superstring, but the according to string duality, these theories different description of the same theory. So if we treat the strongly coupled dynamics, we can start anywhere. So we can expect the type 2B matrix model third side and non-partable definition of the superstring theory. So now, okay, we move to the Euclidean version. By making the weak rotation given here, we obtain the Euclidean model, which has a manifest Sorten symmetry. And in the following, I'm going to summarize that differences between Euclidean and Lorentzian model. First difference is the bosonic action. The bosonic action is given here, where F mu nu is minus I times the commutator of A mu nu. And this is a Hermitian matrix. And in the Euclidean model, this bosonic part of the action is positive semi-definite. So the classical prediction given by this equation lifted up by quantum effects. So this model, it turns out that this model is well defined without any cutoffs. On the other hand, in the Lorentzian model, these two terms have opposite signs, so it looks unbounded. It is unbounded. So this Lorentzian version looks at first unstable non-partability. So far, no one has dared to study Lorentzian model non-partability.
This action enters as a phase, not as a free energy.
Yes. So
even if it was bounded.
Okay. I'll comment on later.
What is the action?
Okay.
You keep saying you're doing quantum mechanics.
Yes. We replace E2 minus S with E2 IS in the Lorentzian model, but it turns out it is still ill-defined. without cutoffs. So we introduce cutoffs later.
Fine, but it's more than just whether the action is bounded or unbounded. That would not be a little self-aid.
Sorry. So, okay. So now that's, okay, second difference is Parfian, which comes from the integral over the fermionic matrix psi. Actually, in the Euclidean model, the Parfian is complex, which causes a sign problem. While in the Lorentzian model, it is actually real and causing no sign problem. It is a good news. And third,
the side problem is that you have into the I times.
Sign problem is totally absent in the Lorentzian. Okay, you are right. So we define the path integral in the Euclidean model through this equation. On the other hand, in the Lorentz model, we replace E to minus S with E to IS. This is natural if we consider the Lorentzian world sheet. So this should be a correct procedure for unbounded action, but it turns out that because of dominance of the SB equals zero configuration, the path integral is still ill-defined without cutoffs. So later, we are going to introduce cutoffs to regularize this path integral.
Those cutoffs in either direction, like the IR, flat directions?
Flat direction, okay. Yeah.
So the path integral is still ill-defined.
Without cutoff.
What do you mean still?
We put I here, but it doesn't. Yeah.
The cutoffs are related to infrared divergences associated with flat directions?
Okay. You mean flat direction by... Yeah.
Why is flat direction bad?
Flat direction is more severe in the Lorentzian model because these two terms are opposite side. So in this case, flat direction is given by just this commutative solutions.
Actually, we calculated
this model by analytically. So we first integrate over the scale factor. This model, and we obtain some delta function-like constraint. So as you pointed out, we have phase here. So at first sight, the model has a sign problem, but it turns out that the sign problem is totally absent in this model. So before, absent.
The integral is entirely ill-defined, but it doesn't have a sign problem.
we introduce that. We are going to introduce cutoffs, and the path integral is well defined. And, okay.
There's no interference.
Sorry?
This quantum mechanics, there's no interference.
Quantum mechanics?
There's no interference. By sign problems, I mean there's no sign or there's no problem. But it's not that there isn't a sign.
Okay. It is unlikely that the sign is free. Sign clicks.
It's
unlikely.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's just
So okay. Before going to the, Lorentzian model, we make some comments on. The Euclidean model. So we will explain how the space-time picture appears in the Euclidean model. In particular, does four-dimensional Euclidean space-time appear in this Euclidean model? In this model, the simultaneous diagonalizable configuration given by this equation is preferred. So we are allowed to decompose 10 n by n Hampshire matrices into diagonal parts and off-diagonal parts. Okay. So mu lang takes 1 to 10 and ij takes 1 to n. So this is an example of capital N equal 8, okay. The blue points correspond to xi, and the red line correspond to a mu. The interaction between the xi's given by this off-diagonal elements, and if the xi's distribute on a four-dimensional hyperplane within 10 dimensions, we can say that we obtain the four-dimensional space-time. And this means that spontaneous symmetry breaking of SO10 to SO4. So actually, these people derived the low-energy effective theory for xi. Interestingly, the system is described by a branched polymer system. So let me tell you the motivation.
It doesn't give you
Okay, no, we have no definite answer. It is difficult to analyze this. Branchstone, yeah.
Think about the distribution of the X fields.
They show that the system behaves like branched polymer. The link between, there are links between these points. So actually can be viewed as some branched polymer-like system.
Which goes in all 10 dimensions.
Yeah.
So there is no four-dimensional
substance. They conjecture that actually these guys distribute on hyperplane, on four-dimensional hyperplane. But yeah, it's just a conjecture.
So this is a branch polymer within the hyperplane.
Within.
Which is that was the critical dimension.
Half-Hausdorff dimension is 4. So let me tell you motivation for Lorentzian model. First of all, we need to study real-time dynamics of space because we want to study cosmology. And second of all, the weak rotation is not obvious at all in gravitational theory, in contrast to field theory on flat space time. Actually, these people studied the dynamical triangulation in the Lorentzian signature, they showed that within dynamical triangulation approach, Lorentzian gravity is quite different from the Euclidean gravity. Actually, the results in the Lorentzian gravity cannot be obtained by analytic continuation of the results in the Euclidean gravity.
There are some recent results by Jack Lahoe, which sort of go in the opposite direction. So he's been computing the spectral dimension in the Euclidean model and finding results very similar to the CDTs suddenly. So I don't know whether you were aware of that paper last year.
Oh.
So there's a statement out there that in fact they're perhaps closer than people thought before.
So you mean the Euclidean is connected to Lorentzian?
So they claim they see a spectral dimension which flows from two short distances up to four large distances, just like in the CDT models.
Mm-hmm. Short distance that they actually see, I think, 1.5.
Yeah, you might be right, yes, around two, right. Oh. So there is some debate at the moment of exactly whether CDTs are the only way to get that kind of behavior and whether this is compatible with holography and whatnot.
Okay, thank you.
I think it's
as far as you are concerned, you had a four-dimensional sink that happened to Euclidean, but that four-dimensional sink will not be related in any way, shape or form to the four-dimensional you're going to get now in Lorentzian case. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. If we get four-dimensional space in Euclidean version, we might be able to connect the results to Euclidean Lorentzian version, but
so you're not excluding this.
The recent work by these people suggests that three-dimensional space-time is generated in the Lorentzian, Euclidean model. I think that the Euclidean model is something is missing in the Euclidean version because it's not connected to real. The three dimension is generated in the Euclidean model.
It happens with
other types. They apply the Gaussian expansion method to the model. Within this approximation.
Then you get
D equals time. Euclidean time. Yeah.
But you have a full list of numbers. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
2, 3, 4. They make some ansatz for the configuration, which has a SO2 symmetry or SO3 symmetry or SO4 symmetry. Uh-huh. It turns out that SO4 is preferred.
SO3.
There appears some result. SO4 is favored.
But recently they changed.
Okay, I'm responsible. So in all papers done with Michiko Sugino, we just studied D equals 2, 4, 6, 7 only.
Three.
It's more complicated. But recently we managed to do all these values and compare the term equals 3 is the smallest.
Thank you. For these reasons, we will study Lorentzian type to be matrix model. So now, let us regularize the path integral of the Lorentzian model. First of all, we put this constraint as an infrared cutoff in the temporal direction. Okay. We import this constraint, and this is actually invariant under scale transformation. Let me do low A.
Define less than space.
Yeah, less than space. Yeah, actually, this is a cutoff in the temporal direction. Okay. Actually, point is that this is the scale invariant transformation. Just a kappa is okay. Kappa is cut off. Kappa is a kappa.
It looks more just X not squared, or doesn't just X I squared, like S squared.
Yeah.
So just says that some vector is spaced.
No.
There's a kappa.
Kappa is large kappa.
And kappa is.
Kappa, okay, so we send kappa to infinity.
Oh.
Okay, so to regularize the oscillating functions, we introduce convergence factor as usual, and we take the epsilon go to the limit after the first integral. And we also insert this unity in the integral. And we rescale the variables like a mu to r to half, r square and a mu times a mu. So these under this rescaling, the these quantities behaves like this. So. Thanks to this behavior, these two behaviors come from the fact that the action is homogeneous in a mu and psi, and so it is easy to integrate over the scale factor R first. So the integral yields this factor, which diverges at SB equals zero, bosonic action. So cure this divergence, we introduce this constraint for the spatial directions. L can be viewed as a infrared cutoff in the spatial direction.
The Fachian's real in the Lorentzian case, but it's not necessarily positive, right?
Fachian. Sorry, Fachian.
The Fachian is, yeah. Have a separate prescription for handling sign changes.
It is unlikely that the sign flips. Because this is a polynomial of N.
And we have some numerical evidence that positive positive
Fachian
dominates actually.
So, we have
L also will go to infinity
at the end. Yes,
and kappa times L squared is even more going to infinity, and that's a limitation on X naught.
Kappa times L?
Well,
with n equal to infinity limit. L is fixed.
First, L is fixed all the time, never goes to infinity.
Right.
In the end.
He's going to explain more detail.
May I ask why it's called an infrared cutoff? Because there's no space time to go over here, so why is it infrared?
Why is invalid? Okay, so okay, mu. Okay, we interpret mu as coordinates. So this is a So in that sense, this is an infrared cast. So thus we arrive at this. Sorry. So okay. So now the thanks to this constraint, the integral domain for R 0 to L square. Then the for sufficiently large L and N, this integral behaves like f of sb, where f of x is a function with a sharp peak at x equals 0. Then we arrived at this model, this simple model. We have a constraint for s of f squared near close to 0, and we have delta function here, the Pahian, and we have this constraint for
capital L.
Capital L is, yeah,
scales out.
We take the, we can replace this integral with this function for sufficiently L, large L, sufficiently large L. So, actually, yeah. So the point is that there is no sign problem unlike the Euclidean model.
So the capital L in this formula one.
Formula one, yeah, okay. Actually, yeah.
Is the sum of the capital L hidden inside little f, because everything else doesn't have it?
Yes.
Okay.
So we can simplify the model by integrating over the scale factor R first. Now, this simplification comes from the fact that the action is homogeneous in the matrices. On the other hand, for instance, in the matrix theory, such a simplification does not occur. So we can say that the fact that the time does not exist a priori makes analysis of time evolution easy. So, okay, let us analyze this Lorentzian model. First of all, we have to extract the time evolution of this model. So as I said, that eigenvalues of Hessel correspond to time. So, and we find that the eigenvalue distribution extends smoothly as kappa go to infinity, thanks to supersymmetry. This corresponds to dynamical generation of time. On the other hand, in the bosonic model, which does not include Fermionic degrees of freedom, in this model, the eigenvalues of A naught attract each other. As a result, the distribution has finite extent even in the kappa go to infinity limit. So the time is not generated in the bosonic model. So supersymmetry plays a crucial role of generating the time. So now, okay, so let us extract the time evolution in this model. So we diagonalize A naught like this. Here T1 is less than T2, T2 is less than T3, dot, dot, dot. The Tn is the largest values of eigenvalues. And in the larger limit, we have more and more eigenvalues within a fixed range of delta T. So we will define a set of n small n eigenvalues. Here, T mu plus 1, T nu plus 2, t knit plus 3 dot 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 t knit plus n. We have n eigenvalues in this interval, and we denote the average of these n eigenvalues by t. This is average. T is average of these eigenvalues. And correspondingly, we define n small n by n matrix block diagonal block matrix AI bar of T here. So we interpreted that the AI bar of T represents space structure at fixed time T. Okay. Actually, this interpretation is allowed because we observe band diagonal structure in the Monte Carlo simulation, because namely these parts are small in the typical configuration of the Monte Carlo simulation. So we have
finally, do you interpret the small n as a Planckian time?
So Planckian time. Small n.
Yes.
Small n. Yeah. We think small n goes to infinity. Yeah. In the large n.
Delta t might be fine.
Delta t might be Planck. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you can change bases. So you pick the bases which all of the eigenvalues of n are.
Yes.
And then in that basis, the AIs, in that particular basis, that all those makes A naught both diagonal and all those diagonal values that way, AI is diagonally dominant.
The band.
And with all of them, then you would see in this basis, for all I's, two guys jumping out, right? Because the stack, it wouldn't be diagonally dominated anymore. True?
Mm. All AI, we observe that all AI is a...
Yeah, now permute, pick another basis in which you permuted two of the T's which are very close to each other. Then you would permute here and sort of go out of, away from the diagonal dominator. So that's the point.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, it's important to have these eigenvalues in this order.
Right. So, I mean, had you not done it and had you run your code, you would not have seen a diagonal dominator.
I haven't said explicitly, but that should be the case. These are almost obvious from me.
No, from this is obvious, but this is tested to come out.
Okay. I haven't.
So actually, so this is a Monte Carlo result. We are observing the elements of this quantity AI square. We plot the magnitude of the elements of this matrix along this line. This corresponds to this one, and this corresponds to this one, and so on. This is a okay. So actually, you can see that the off-diagonal elements decrease rapidly if one goes away from the diagonal elements like this. So from this figure, we can determine n equal 4 for a capital N equal 16 case. Okay, so now let us see the time evolution of the space size. So we define the size of the space by this equation. This is the size of space at time t. So and so all the results we are going to show you are symmetric and T. We take a sum over it. I from 1 to 9. So symmetric. This is a, okay. All the results are symmetric and the reflection of time.
So you mean little n, not capital N.
Little n, yes. This
the,
is
the four. The n.
Four.
The n that was four for n capital N equals 16.
Yes. Yes. So we only. Yeah. Okay. So we only show the results for t less than zero. So this is the result. So this is our result. The horizontal axis represents the time, and you can see that there is a critical kappa between 1 and 2, and beyond which the peak at t equals zero starts to grow. Okay, so we have we get the expanding universe.
So, what you're saying is, is this right that you simulate it and are the eigenvalues spreading apart as you simulate it? And that spreading apart somehow replacing t increasing, little t increasing. Is that correct? So the more you simulate it, the more the.
No, time is the eigenvalue.
Time is eigenvalue, yeah.
Excuse me, is it true that the universe expands only a little bit and then comes back because it's symmetric under t goes to minus t?
Okay, so we have a data, yeah. So, yeah. Which obtain, yeah, this, like this. Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't want to.
Yeah.
That point of view, because if we take the larger minimum, then it seems that this turning point goes infinity.
Hmm.
If you start over here, yeah, you start here at some point here.
We
start at t equals zero.
Ah,
okay. Yeah, we start t minus infinity.
Yeah.
We should choose our starting point so we interpret
yeah.
Your world.
Okay.
So our scope is of all the n, n is the number of colors.
Sorry, n, capital N?
Yes. Is that scope of all the capital N?
Yeah.
When n is this n, when you make it bigger, what happens to little n?
This n.
The capital n goes to infinity. What happens with the little n?
Little n is okay. So larger, yeah, gets larger.
How?
According to yeah.
Proportional to capital N.
Proportional. Right.
Yeah, we can just look at this off-manual elements, how it decreases in the previous.
Mm-hmm.
So you should just determine the small n by looking at this follow, and it turns out that a small n should be proportional to capital N. I mean, we don't know why.
But doesn't that mean you have only a finite number of time steps? Because you're averaging over little n of your eigenvalues to get t. And if you keep the ratio fixed, you're going to get only a finite number of time.
But. But your question is.
If you have capital N eigenvalues, mm-hmm. and your formula for your time coordinate t
mm-hmm.
required that you average over little n of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if the ratio of little n to capital N is held constant,
that
individual time steps in your universe.
N gets large, gets so rapidly large compared to capital N.
Sorry, I made some wrong comments.
Oh, okay.
Small n is not proportional to capital N.
Not
it's a power.
It's a power.
Oh, okay.
Power smaller than one?
Yeah.
And you don't know what the power is?
Yeah, it's very small matrix size, so we power set. It seems to be smaller than
one. We have to study larger matrix.
You didn't only one then?
We did some reading.
Yeah, the
hectare n, we have five file sets from 8, 12, 16, 24, 32.
Okay, so what are the equivalents for those five?
Yeah, so vector n's are first 2, 3, 4, and then it's not proportional to n, and it's less, become smaller.
One data, one of them is no longer proportional, so that's
no, two. Yeah. In the larger matrix size.
I can see so long. Okay. But the expectation is at the end of the day that this thing is still diverging. As for t still goes to infinity, because upstairs you have something of order n, and downstairs you have something which is of order n to some alpha, which is more.
Ah,
yeah.
That's what you're
right. Okay.
Okay, let us see the SSB of SO19
Barbara, I think we should mention that this trace is taken over smaller. Yeah.
The trace
is taken over small n by small n. This A bar is small n times small n.
Oh.
So that's why we have 1 over small n, mm-hmm. which is a natural thing.
So this is.
Okay.
There was a formula with a capital I of T, which appeared.
Capital O.
Yeah.
Yes, this is a.
Here the trace is. Over
a little n by n matrix. Little n by n, yes.
Why? This is just a block.
Yes. Yes.
So this is at the lower level. This is always more than one.
Let us see the SSB of SO9 symmetry. Okay, we define the 9 by, n by n, n by, small n by, small n by small n matrix. Press symmetric matrix Tij as the order parameter. This is the analog of the moment tensor of inertia. And you can see that there is a critical time, and after the critical time, the three largest eigenvalues start to grow like this. There are 6 eigenvalues here. So this strongly suggests that SO9 symmetry is spontaneously broken down to SO3 symmetry after the critical time. This is our main design.
Can I ask about spontaneous symmetry breaking? Normally you have to use like an alignment to get spontaneous symmetry breaking. You have to break the symmetry first and then take that parameter to zero. Do you do that here? But to get spontaneous symmetry breaking, normally you have to use an alignment in that direction of the symmetry breaking.
We don't introduce. Yeah.
But we have to diagonalize this Tij, so that corresponds effectively.
So is it really spontaneous symmetry breaking?
This is these are eigenvalues of Tij. Nine eigenvalues of Tij.
If the kappa is more than the critical value,
There is no SSB. Okay, these are eigenvalues of Tij. 9 eigenvalues of Tij. 1, 2, 3, 9. The three largest eigenvalues start to grow after the critical time. Yes.
Okay, this is for kappa equals 4. But kappa is your cutoff that you're going to take to infinity.
Yes.
Right, so does this change the number of eigenvalues or anything if you make kappa bigger?
No, this is we have the same behavior beyond the critical kappa. There is a critical kappa for fixing, so we have the same behavior.
And when you send kappa to infinity, does it grow forever with kappa? Let's go back one slide. If you increase value of kappa, then R of T.
We have to take the continuum limit. Kappa is related to n.
Some double scaling.
Yes. Some. With n. With n goes to infinity. So at first sight, the SSB of SO9 looks mysterious, but we can understand the mechanism intuitively as follows. So first of all, let us recall that this constraint, we have this constraint, and this implies that this equation. So, for simplicity, let us consider the case in which kappa is large. Then, because kappa is a cutoff for the temporal direction, so trace F0i square becomes large. So, thanks to this.
1 or 0i? 0.
Oh,
no, the equation about, sorry. That one should be an I.
No. I. Yeah, so thanks to this equation, this guy also become large. Then we have this constraint in our model, so it is more efficient to maximize trace Fij square at some fixed time. So actually, it turns out that the middle point t equals 0 is chosen because the eigenvalue distribution of A naught is denser around t equals 0, so that the enhancement to trace F0i square is the least. So actually, this explains why peak of R of t square at t equals 0 grows as kappa increases. So let us consider the simplified equation. To maximize trace Fij square with trace Ai square over n fixed to 1. So we introduce the Lagrange multiplier, and we maximize this quantity. And taking the derivative with respect to Ai, we obtain this equation. And actually, we can see that this equation can be solved by this configuration, where Ai proportional to Li for I less than equal d, and Ai equals 0 d for I larger than d less than equal 9, where Li representation matrices of compact semi-simple group is compact semi-simple algebra with d generators. So it turns out that this actually the maximum is achieved for SU2 case with Ly takes this form, where sigma I is a Pauli matrix. Mm-hmm. So we can conclude this observation that d equals actually 3. So the mechanism is...
Sorry, that's a solution. Or is it the solution?
When you calculate G, you calculate
the... we maximize G.
No, sorry, trace of Fij squared for all the solutions, and then you find the best one. What do you mean?
This is the biggest one. This is, yeah, we maximize the correct
difference. All possible algebras, you try here.
We made ANSATZ here. We checked.
Right, so you have to go up already.
We checked.
That's a way of getting a solution. Is it the only way?
We actually made some this answer. It's a proportional
solution.
The algebra solution.
Maybe not the only.
Okay. We checked. Actually, this configuration is realized in the Monte Carlo simulation for kappa large. We check this.
This simple question is rather easy to answer by doing Monte Carlo simulation, for instance. It turns out that this is really the solution. Double ANSATZ, we can explicitly check that SU2 is the really match mode.
How exactly?
We check the algebra, SU2 algebra, whether it satisfies eigenvalues of their L squares or Lg and so on.
I mean, you had D made with us. And to simulate it over all possible.
No, without this ANSATZ. We just maximize this.
What?
The G by
over D matrices. The space over which you are maximizing it is the space of D.
Nine matrices.
Oh, nine matrices. Yeah. Okay. And you found that there are three of
them. Three of them satisfies. Mm-hmm. SU2, the others are almost zero, very small.
So they form a fuzzy two sphere.
Yeah.
So it's actually two is three.
2 by 2.
Okay, so 2 by 2 is 16, it's not in my head. It's four matrices, so it's a bunch of Pauli. It's not Pauli. It's not Pauli. It's a representation.
Yeah,
it's
Pauli.
2 by 2.
Yeah.
Okay. So finally, let us discuss how we can remove the cutoffs. It turns out that we can remove the two cutoffs, kappa and L, in the large limit, in such a way that R of T scales. This can be done by two steps. The step one is we send kappa go to infinity with N go to infinity. And we fix kappa equal to some constant beta times n to the 1/4. This corresponds to the continuum limit. And the second step is we take L go to infinity limit with beta go to infinity. So we fix the scale by R of Tc, and this corresponds to the infinite volume limit. And the theory thus obtained has no parameters other than one scale parameter, which is expected for non-perturbative string theory.
Wasn't there yet another parameter, epsilon, which you introduced to make the asymptote converge?
Yeah,
we take. That should be taken to zero at the very end.
Yeah, we take the string theory limit safely.
Did you show that?
Yes. Actually, yeah, we showed it. In the calculation.
I mean, the epsilon limit isn't that to zero limit, isn't that what you take in order to get another delta function?
When we get the delta function,
it's taking on a limit.
But shouldn't you do that at the very end, at the last?
I'm just helping communications.
The order of limits may be important.
This is the first step. We fix beta, and this is the data for various n, 8 to 12, 16. So you can see that we scale R by R of Tc, and we shift of time by TC in such a way that the critical time is on the origin. And we also rescale time by R of TC. Then you can see that the R actually, R of T actually scales. With we vary kappa following this equation. With kappa is equal to beta times n. This is actually correspond to quantum limit. And also this is the second step. Actually, in this case, for fixed n, capital N, we change the values of kappa, namely the values of beta. Then you can see that R actually scales, and the extent of time increases as beta increases, and the size of the inverse becomes very large at later time. So this corresponds to the infinite volume limit. So,
in fact, it's a quota matter still. And this four in the bottom of the quota has nothing to do with C plus one. Question. All you need is that it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me summarize. We showed that the Lorentzian type 3 matrix model is well defined non-perturbatively. And we introduced the two cutoffs, tap and L, to regularize the model. And it turns out that the two cutoffs can be removed in the Lorentzian limit. The theory thus obtained has no parameters other than one scale parameter, which is expected for non-perturbative string theory. So we integrated over the scale factor first. Then we obtain the model without sign problem. So actually, Monte Carlo study is difficult for the Euclidean model due to the sign problem. But in our case, the Monte Carlo simulation is rather easy. So and we can also easily study the real-time quantum dynamics. So and most importantly, the SSB of SO9 down to SO3 after some critical time happens, and we observed that the size of the three dimensions increases with time after the critical time. And we think that the cosmic singularity is naturally avoided due to non-commutativity. Actually, the space. And the Suji plays a crucial role, as I said. Actually, in the bosonic model, the eigenvalues of A0 attract each other, then the distribution does not extend as kappa go to infinity. So there is no expansion and no SSB in the bosonic model.
But suppose you had twice as many fermions, so it wouldn't be fermion. It wouldn't be supersymmetric. But it still would prevent them from attacking each other.
Then I can have a split into two.
You will not have a continuum.
We haven't reached the connection yet. Yeah.
So what do you believe would happen?
Of course, the repulsive potential becomes too strong. Eigenvalue distribution becomes split, and then you just come closer to the cutoff. This cutoff.
They will just pile up at the end and open a giant this stuff.
Yeah, that's what we expect, but we haven't checked it.
Are the cutoffs compatible with Suzy, or do they break Suzy?
Cutoff breaks Suzy and SO91 explicitly. But they are restored in the Lorentzian limit. Yeah. But because it's an infrared effect, and so short wave, so we can check the restoration by looking at the world island, but we haven't done.
You say something related to ultraviolet infrared mixing in some regime?
I No, I don't think so. You mean ultraviolet and mix? We are mixing? Yeah, we don't.
Mean the regime where non-commutative.
Non-commutative, yeah, but yeah, it's, but the, yeah, our cutoffs, I think our cutoff has nothing to do with UVIR mixing. So it is, okay, so okay, let us discuss. It is likely that we are seeing the birth of our inverse, the very initial error in the inverse, in the present Monte Carlo result. So actually, it is natural to identify this scale R of TC with the Planckian scale. So we are seeing just the interval of order of Planckian time.
So what TC was?
Huh? Sorry,
I forgot what TC was.
R of TC.
TC.
TC is a critical time after which the spontaneous broken occurs. After TC, the SO9 is broken to SO. Sorry, this is. This is a critical.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I understand. So it's just some point. It's not a sharp
rate. Yeah. We just determine in some way.
Yeah. No, what you believe, I mean, I understand the numerics. You believe it is a sharply defined thing, or it is just some label?
At least in the larger limit, it should
be sharply. Sharply defined.
In the larger limit. Yeah.
I'm not interested in this scenario.
Yeah, no, I'm
interested in it. So, okay, so we need larger n to see later. So, the mechanism of SSB, of SO9 to down to SO3, relies crucially on non-commutative nature of space. So, we have to ask that. Does commutative space time be observed now appear at late time? We need to answer this question, we need to see late time by increasing n. So at later time, we naively expect the classical solution to dominate because the action gets larger due to expansion. As a complementary approach, we therefore study classical solutions. It turns out that there are infinitely many solutions in the large limit, which is reminiscent of the random scale. So you need to find which one is connected to Monte Carlo result. So we find some interesting examples of solutions. It represents expanding universe with commutative space. So this is one of our solutions. This is equation motion, and this solution based on the SL2R algebra, should be A0 proportional to T0, A1, A2, A3 proportional to T1. This is the algebra of SL2R. So from this solution, we can obtain the so-called scale factor of A of T, like this.
Why do you have an Euclidean metric in that constraint?
In the constraint? Okay. Actually, lambda tilde takes. Actually, our cutoffs breaks SO9 machine, so we can yeah, we can impose independent. Okay, we can essentially we have two constraints. Let's say I square less than L square. Let's say not square less than kappa. So we treat them independently. So
this solution also solves that maximization equation that you have.
No, this is okay. This includes time. In that case,
I see. Yes, right. Okay. But the spatial part doesn't. I mean, it's certainly not a maximum. But does it solve? Just because the algebra just changes the sign, right? I mean, the computation direction is a little large. So it is the saddle point of those. If you take just a spatial part.
Spatial matrices are actually three zeros.
Is that right? The spatial ones are all.
Spatial ones are commutative, yeah. So we are only space time non commutative. Yeah. Sorry. So, yeah, okay, so this is this. Okay, we can calculate the Hubble parameter from this equation. It's like this, and so-called W parameter is given here. And for instance, we can set T0 to the present time. Then the W is equal to minus 1. And in the future, W goes to minus a third.
Can I ask, where does diffeomorphism symmetry fall into this model?
Okay, so that's
I don't know much about matrix models, so this
might be. There are some arguments on that problem, but I think there is no definite answer yet. So
would be like not expected.
We have to understand how the general Hubble background realized in this model, but we have no definite answer. But the point is that we actually the SO9 symmetry definitely breaks down to SO3, and this is non-trivial. And even though we know much about the metric, the expansion we obtain actually should be correct. Actually, expansion.
The universe expansion.
So even though we don't much about metric.
The solution is really two-dimensional, right? Because here, the solution which you showed gives really two-dimensional space-time, yes?
No.
Because A1, A2, A3 are the same matrices, so one can really define coordinates.
Right. But we have some tensor here. We can introduce
tensor.
Yeah, okay. Tensor.
I am confused. Before you get the Fuji sphere solution, mm-hmm. maximizing G. So Fuji sphere is two sphere. So
okay. So this is okay.
Space in two dimensions.
Okay. So this is we obtain the Fuji sphere at extremal situation. So kappa go to infinity with fixed end. So what happens is that by quantum corrections, we have the geometric eigenvalues of matrices smear, and we obtain the kind of ball.
Yeah.
We observe in the Monte Carlo simulation. This is our speculation. Okay. So now we have a critical time in, at which SO9 symmetry breaks down to SO3 here. And we have expanding inverse here. Yeah? The blue line represents the size of space. So the we see around this this area by Monte Carlo simulation. And the, as I said, that the classical simulation should be varied in the late time. So the problem is that we have here non-commutative space non-commutative is non-trivial here, and so we expect that for some dynamical reason space non-commutative disappears at some time, and exciting expansion is obtained here.
You can see, by accelerating expansion, you really mean it's like inflation. But you don't really mean inflation. I mean, you don't mean accelerating.
I think W was minus the third of the times, which you probably found. What are the classical solutions that for expansion,
right? This is actually. This was on the W minus 1.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, here are our future projects. So, we should continue Monte-Carlo simulation by including algorithms. And we should analyze cluster solutions. And also, it is desirable to develop the kind of spin-off group method in this matrix model. Then, by using these methods, if we succeed in reaching late time and observing a phase transition to commutative space time, we can ask the following. How do four fundamental interactions and the matters appear at late time? And what is the mechanism of inflation? Actually, we can compare our results with the details of CMD data, CP, and so we can clarify, we can understand what is the trapped energy. And we can predict in principle the future of the universe, the Big Crunch, Big Leap or Big Crunch, and many problems we have to do. Thank you. That's all.
Do you have any statement about spatial curvature, k equals plus or minus 1 or 0? That's another coarse grain feature you might.
You mean the spatial curvature?
Yeah, spatial.
We don't have a definite answer.
It's flat, right? So it's because it's all free.
Yeah, naively it's flat, yeah. We might have positive or negative curves. We can say negative.
It's flat, but there's no translation group. It's SO3, but you don't have the translations, right? Because of the center.
Mm-hmm. Center. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that could be it. Any of them, right? K equals plus or minus 1 or 0.
Like the world has an edge where the eigenvalues stop.
Okay. If you look at the local area, okay. Local time interval, we have maybe perhaps we have the flat space-time is translation invariance. Maybe we expect.
So what's controlling the dynamics of how this growing three-dimensional space is embedded in the higher dimensions? Because I understood, from what I understood of what you said, it sounded like there was effectively nothing correlating the embedding at one time with the embedding at a later time. So it seems like there would be, you know, degrees of freedom, soft degrees of freedom, which should play some role. You know, is this three-dimensional space tumbling? Is it random? Or did you only look at configurations where it's effectively sitting still?
Axiom constraint and that determines this configuration. It just turns out to be like this.
But there's a total freedom of your choice of embedding, right? I mean, you could just rotate it. But the point is that that's a time-dependent degree of freedom, and that is then dynamics, isn't it?
What choice are you talking about?
Well, for when we look, to yes, say, at the minimum action configurations, that was coming from embedding an SU2 Lie algebra within these bigger matrices, right? So, you know, any conjugation of that is equally good. But that was a discussion, I thought, of a dominant configuration effectively at some moment in time. So why isn't that embedding free to change randomly from one moment to the next? At least I didn't understand that.
Isn't there a common between A0 and the space that we're calling? I mean, the A0 defines time.
No, you don't want it totally independent. You just want it to be weakly dependent, right? So whether you have soft modes, you could just sort of fix another one, another slightly different in subspace.
But isn't there a correlation between?
I'm saying I didn't clearly see it.
Oh.
You're asking what difference does it make, actually?
It's like a degree of freedom.
But if you let them, three dimensions,
if I can do measurements which correlate, you know.
Well, let's see.
Yeah, yes. Correlate things in one another.
Yes, I have an accident.
Yeah. So the overall time independent orientation, I don't care about at all. So it's like saying, yeah, maybe I missed it, but how do I understand the kinetic terms for those Goldstone modes?
All they do so far is try to measure what.
Time local measurements, which are insensitive.
Short question. How do you determine the arrow of time?
Arrow.
You said expanding. How do you know it's not?
Arrow of time. Yeah, actually. But we naively, we naively, the order is the eigenvalue. Chronological order. So,
okay.
So we naively identify the arrow of time.
So they pick the direction that matched the story.
Yes.
Yeah. You can run the story backwards.
Well, I mean, the full solution you said actually is time invariant under t goes to minus t. It expands and contracts.
Okay.
So that's the full solution. They're just picking the expanding part.
So is there a thermodynamic arrow? I mean, that you are matching.
Does
some of the light scalar field that you observe as you're slowly rolling into the direction. You re-grab it, right? Yeah. That's a field, right? If it was some scalar field, that would be gravity.
As long as it ends up with normal kinetics, yes.
Yeah.
What if they're going to compare the data?
Yeah, no, it would be there, I agree.
Okay, so maybe we should stop this.